everyone. Happy Friday to one and all. If you haven't guessed already, what we have here is a brand new episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry podcast, brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by me, Amelia. Yes, I'm named after the pilot, Dalton. So what do we have in today's EE bag of tricks? Well, we've got a special preview of next week's Altium Live 2020 virtual PCB design conference with Ted Pawella, COO of Altium. But first, you know it, you love it, it's time for a little news you may have missed. Carbon is the new black edition. Carbon transistors. Everybody wants them. No one knows how to make them. Until now. Well, we all know that we're running hard against Moore's Law with today's silicon technologies. But if we do away with silicon, do we have to rename the whole valley? Because Carbon Valley just doesn't have the same ring to it. So, a team at UC Berkeley believe that they have discovered the first building blocks to making carbon transistors and all-carbon electronics a reality. They have created the first metallic wire made entirely from carbon. So, this research did not come out of thin air or thin graphene, as the case may be. This group at UC Berkeley have been working for quite a few years on making insulators and semiconductors from graphene nanoribbons. So, what are these nanoribbons? Well, they are atom-thick, one-dimensional strips of graphene that are completely composed of carbon atoms in an interconnected hexagonal pattern, kind of like chicken wire. So, these new carbon wires are also graphene nanoribbons, but they were built with the idea of conducting electrons between semiconducting nanoribbons. So they were actually assembled using smaller identical building blocks from the bottom up, which allows each building block the ability to contribute an electron that can flow freely along the nanoribbon. Michael Cromie, a UC Berkeley professor of physics, puts the study in perspective like this. He says, "Nanoribbons allow us to chemically access a wide range of structures using bottom-up fabrication, something not yet possible with nanotubes. This has allowed us to basically stitch electrons together to create a metallic nanoribbon, something not done before. And this was one of the great challenges in the arena of graphene nanoribbon technology, and why we're so excited about it." Well, Michael, I'm excited about it too. As they point out in this study, this new technology could revolutionize how we build ICs and definitely could push us in the direction of a carbon-based electronic semiconductor industry. So, if you want even further information about this study, how these nanoribbons were created, the groundbreaking special quantum wave function research that helped create these nanoribbons in the first place, and a whole lot more, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on EEJournal.com. All right, it's time to bring in Ted Pawella from Altium. Ted and I are talking about why high-speed design will take center stage again at this year's conference, what the goals of Altium Live 2020 are, and why this conference is a unique collaboration between different engineering communities. Let's go. Hi, Ted. Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thanks, Amelia. Great to have the opportunity to speak with you.
So I loved attending last year's Altium Live. So tell my audience who may not know, what is it about and what is the goal of Altium Live?
Sure. Well, so this, if I'm not mistaken, will be the fourth year of Altium Live. And when we introduced it, the idea really was to kind of close the gap that exists in helping people to become PCB designers or to improve their skills as far as being PCB designers. So we saw that there were sort of formal training courses out there through organizations like IPC, but nothing to really kind of address more informal way for people to learn and improve their skills. And in some cases, you know, develop the skills to become a PCB designer for the first time. So really the goal of Altium Live was to fill that gap. And I guess the way that we think about it is in terms of the theme that we put against this. So from the start, we've said these three words: learn, connect, and get inspired. And so we really try to format the entire conference, all the contents, all the sessions, all of that to do each of those three things, to help people to learn and improve their skills, to connect with their peers, and whether it's, you know, peers from Altium or it's peers from our user community or it's peers just from the electronics design community who may have nothing to do with Altium. And then get inspired. You know, obviously we all appreciate, especially as engineers, and I'm one myself and most of my team is, you know, we really always appreciate seeing what other people do that gives us inspiration to kind of reach higher and do more things ourselves.
That makes sense. Now, Ted, I read that you will have 3 days of free interactive electronics education, including live sessions, expert panels, and virtual tours and more. So first, let's talk about those live sessions. What kind of sessions are we looking at for this year's conference?
Yeah, so, you know, as you are aware, Amelia, we try really hard to make this not a conference where it's about Altium or it's Altium sort of talking to people or, you know, pitching our products and things like that. There's a little bit of that sprinkled in, but there's really not a lot. It's really meant to be sort of by the electronics design community for the electronics design community. And so the content and all of those sessions are really, you know, intended to be sort of that nature. And you'll see that, like, you've seen the agenda, and on that, you have a lot of external speakers who are just a part of our community and that we have come to have a lot of respect for, and they carry a lot of respect in the industry. And so most of those sessions are either them sort of giving sort of expert tips and tricks towards how you approach different kinds of design scenarios, whether that's, you know, signal integrity or it's the use of simulation or it's more, you know, fundamentals of how you go from schematic design to layout and so forth to the bill of material and working with manufacturers. So it's really intended to, you know, have, again, a lot of kind of educational content within that. And this year, of course, is going to be different than before in terms of the format. And, you know, I guess when we first looked at this, if we were to rewind back to, let's say, maybe April or May, and we, you know, we're realizing that COVID wasn't something that was going to be vanquished in a sort of rapid way, we made the decision to go ahead and commit to doing a virtual conference. And I know a lot of our team was sad about that initially, but I personally look at it and say that it's a great opportunity for us to be able to make the content accessible to a lot more people. And of course, doing a virtual event like this, it lowers our cost structure as well, which gave us the opportunity to say, let's actually do this as something that's free to the design community, whether they're our customers or not. And so those sessions, on the other hand, you know, doing it virtual, I think what most of us have found in our day-to-day working lives is that it can work when we're communicating this way, right? Over Zoom and WebEx and these kinds of technologies. And this is no exception. It'll be the same live content, the same quality standards that we've held before, just in a virtual format. And as you said, some really cool things like opportunities to do virtual walkthroughs and tours, as well as the learning sessions, the networking sessions that, you know, many people found, you know, really valuable to connect with their peers. And so I'm excited about this. I'm optimistic that we may want to stay in a virtual context because that affords us that opportunity to, you know, to make it more widely accessible.
So speaking of speakers, I saw you guys have some really great speakers in the lineup in this year's conference, including Eric Bogatin, which is one of my favorites, the Dean of the Signal Integrity Academy, and Dave Pellerin, the Head of Industry Business Development and Semiconductors at Amazon Web Services. So are these speakers part of your expert panels? And what should my audience expect from these panels?
Yeah, the short answer is yes, they are part of those expert panels. And those same people will be doing their own individual sessions where they will impart their wisdom upon all of us. And you're right, Eric is great I can remember 2 years ago when he actually brought his daughter to perform a version of It's All About the Bass, which was a popular song back then. But in his version, it was It's All About the Space. And of course, he was talking about, you know, electromagnetic fields and how that affected signal integrity. He's great. He's both extremely knowledgeable, but he presents the content in very sort of engaging and entertaining kind of way. And I think all of our panel speakers are really of that nature, where they have great content and wisdom to offer, but they also make it fun. And from the panel discussions, what we really try to do is to mix up the speakers that are a part of the panel, or the panelists, I should say, in ways that will allow us to think about a particular topic from multiple perspectives. So a good example is that Eric is participating in a panel discussion on signal integrity and power integrity. And, you know, with him is Istvan Novak, who's working at Samtech and does a lot of high-speed design, has to do a lot of that work himself. Steven Sandler, who is the managing director at Picotest. And Picotest, of course, does a lot of testing and validation of those things. You know, the way you would teach the content, you have also then the perspective of somebody who has to use those methods and sort of a very practical, practice-oriented approach to it. And then somebody who actually does testing and validating those designs and so forth. So the idea of all of those panel discussions is to be sort of broad in the perspectives in that way. So we might all think of things in a different way than we have before and learn something from these guys and be better engineers when we turn off Zoom and stay at our desk, I should say.
Right. Okay. So, Ted, I also noticed that you guys will have a live demo of what's coming up in Altium Designer 21. Can you give me a little hint about what you guys are going to show?
Yeah. So each year we have two releases of Altium Designer. One is a major new release with lots of new features. And then the next one is, I guess you call it more of a sort of a cleanup release, where if there are things that we find that need to be improved upon, then, you know, we do that. But we also introduce maybe a little bit less in terms of absolutely new features and so forth in that one. So this will be the major release of Altium Designer 21. And I would say that the biggest thing about Altium Designer 21 thematically is still focused on high-speed design. So we've been talking about high-speed design since we released Altium Designer 18. And even at that time, I can remember being up on stage myself and talking about that and saying that it was the first of a three release sequence that was intended to make Altium Designer, you know, truly powerful and as capable as any tool out there for high-speed design. And so, you know, that's what we're excited about, is now, you know, kind of completing that journey to enable people to do high-speed design in a much better way. And includes, for example, you know, more simulation tools built inside that we didn't have before, or that we had weaker versions of before. And, you know, a continuation of more routing capabilities that are relevant for high-speed design. And, you know, there's a whole host of features in there that really take it to the next level. And of course, I'd be kind of remiss if I didn't mention that we somewhat quietly went to our full release of Altium 365, the cloud platform that connects to Altium Designer, and they work together. And at AD21, it's a really powerful combination of technologies that allows really someone to stay in their Altium Designer design environment that they're used to, but to be able to collaborate with their peers, whether they're design peers, they're, you know, doing PCB design or circuit design, but also with mechanical engineers who have to do CAD design, with their manufacturing partners who, you know, typically have to provide a lot of feedback towards the manufacturability of the design. And, you know, Altium 365 working with Altium Designer 21 really makes the best of both worlds in terms of the local power of a desktop application, but the cloud sort of back end to save data, to share data, to be able to mark up and comment and do all the kinds of things that you would like to do as you're working with other people. And there's a lot more than I could, you know, possibly cover. And our experts will be there to go over that, but also to show it and give people some hands-on time with AD21. And we're very excited about this release.
Cool. Okay. So Ted, I also was really interested in that virtual tour part of the program. Can you tell me a little bit about that as well?
Yeah. So the virtual tour is going to be a factory tour from Wirth Electronics in Germany. They're a global PCB manufacturing facility. You know, one of the things that we've often noted is that people who do PCB design many times have never seen the inside of their fabricator or assembler's facilities. In fact, you know, it's one of the things that I would say on both sides, you know, the design people, the design community would love for manufacturers to kind of understand the way that they think about approaching design and the things that they have to go through. But conversely, manufacturing people always tell us that, wow, if the guys in design knew what we have to do there, then we could actually together, you know, sort of avoid some of the things that cause us to do, you know, turnbacks on the design and have to do additional respins. And we've really taken that to heart. And you see that in our products for sure, like in Altium 365, but also now, you know, using Altium Live as a platform to connect the people who are in the these three communities within printed circuit board, design, manufacturing, et cetera. And that's that the people doing design, people doing manufacturing, and people who have to deal with the supply chain. So components, chips, bare boards, all of that sort of thing. So I think this is a great opportunity in this virtual tour of Worth to get an idea, you know, what is the manufacturer have to deal with and what actually happens when you send that design electronically to someone and one day you get a board back, but what happens in between? So I think this is a great opportunity to transform that from what in many cases is a black box into something that you really have a lot more understanding about. And hopefully it will inspire people to ask more questions and to really, you know, think about what questions they want to ask of their own manufacturing partners in order to streamline the communication and eliminate these kind of design turnbacks and respins.
That makes sense. All right, Ted, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, we're doing a little COVID special these days. So if you could have one meal right now, it doesn't matter if the restaurant's closed, it's in another part of the world, it's in another part of the United States, what would you have right now?
That's just such an easy question because, you know, from the time I was a little kid, pizza was always my go-to. And I would say that's still true today. I think maybe my tastes are a little bit more sophisticated, or at least I like to think so, than they were when I was 5 or 6 years old. But I would have answered that question the same way, you know, every single year. And I know I did so, like if my, you know, parents said it's your birthday and you get to choose your birthday meal, well, I had the same one every time. So unchanged, I'm still on that one.
Awesome. Well, Ted, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Great. Thank you, Amelia.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EE Journal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out Amelia D. 1978. And if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by you know who. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or if you just want to chat, I promise I will respond. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of October 2nd, 2020, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.